First, I want to just thank you guys for having me. It's so awesome to be here. I was here last Christmas, and just a blessing to be here at Calvary Chapel Stockton and see the good things that are happening at the church and just even the growth. There's more ladies here than there were last year, so you just see the Lord's faithfulness. So we always, always give the glory to the Lord, but, you know, you have a good pastor and pastor's wife. Definitely love them. They definitely know the word. They love the word. They love their family. They love each other. And if you have a husband and wife as a pastor and wife team that love each other, that just trickles down to the rest of the congregation. So I'm excited about that. And they do love each other. And I'm very thankful for that. She knows that. Okay, so one thing about myself is I have all grown children now, and I have grandkids, and grandkids are the prize. For not killing your own children, you get the grandkids, and I just love my grandkids. My oldest is already getting like little facial hair on his upper lip, which is just too crazy. So I have 12, 10, 9, 3, and then a new baby, and he's precious. And he is a special needs baby. He has Down syndrome. So I'm on a new learning curve as a grandma having a special needs baby. So that has been a great blessing in my life, and able to communicate and learn a lot from other women who have had special needs kids in their lives. And it's really been amazing. Secondary is I have always loved to do crafts. And I don't know if any of you like to do crafts, but I love to quilt, and I love to paint, and I love to draw, but I had to let a lot of that go when I was raising the kids. So now that the kids are raised, I have a girlfriend who is a big-time crafter, and so I go to her home a couple times a month, and we craft together. So one of the things we crafted was this little baby right here. So she crafted the first one, and it says, "I want a Christmas that whispers Jesus." And when I first saw it, it was so cool. And I don't know if you guys can see, the light is red, right? Yes. Mm-hmm. You can actually change the color of the light. Let's see. Oh, let's go to that color. Or maybe you like a different color. Oh, maybe you like that color. Oh, I really like that color. So she had one at her house. I'm like, oh. She's like, "I made it." I said, "Oh, I know you did. I want to make one." She said, "Well, maybe." So I went there again, and she gave me one for my birthday, and I'm like, "Oh, I love it." And I said, "But I want to make one for my mother, because those of us have mothers, we always want our mothers to have things, right?" She's like, "Okay." So I made one for my mother. Then we were asked to come, and so this was back a few months back. So then December came, and I said, "Oh, I want to make one for my pastor's wife. She needs one." And I said, "And I'm going to use that as my theme for the teaching. I want a Christmas that whispers Jesus." And so if you have notes, if you take notes, if you have your Bible, if you have your phone, we are going to be looking at Scripture. So it's important to do that. So whether you brought your Bible, which is awesome, that's great, or if you have your phone, which probably has your Bible on it, you can look up these Scriptures together as we do that. But that is the theme. I want us and myself to have a Christmas that whispers Jesus. So we're going to go ahead and open in prayer. Father God, we come before you and we thank you for this day, Lord, that we're together, Lord. We give you just full reign to open up our hearts to your word, to speak to us, Lord, through a gentle whisper today as we read the truth. Your word is truth, and it's come to save us and set us free and put us on a new path of communion with you, Lord. So we thank you for that. I know that you can touch each one of us, Lord. I just pray I would communicate clearly and effectively, and that your name, Lord Jesus, would be lifted up high in the preeminent place that it deserves. In Jesus' name, amen. So I know some of you ladies are probably so organized. I mean, you have your trees up, and you have all your Christmas presents bought, and they're wrapped, and you sent them to your family members far away. And then there's those of us that are always like a few steps behind that. And I do have my presents bought, but I do not have one wrapped yet. And I was going to wrap them this weekend, but I've been a little bit busy this weekend. So it's like, okay, Lord, I'm going to have to do it next week. But that's okay. That's okay. You know, not all of us have it all together. But man, I like to be friends with people who have it all together. I like to go into a woman's house that's already got it decorated the day after Thanksgiving. No, I don't. I'm like, really? How'd you do that? Yeah. But you know, it's a blessing. So all different, Christmas takes on all different shapes and sizes and the way we do it. You know, when the kids are young, the decorations are different than when they get older. And sometimes we only have one tree, but sometimes in those grown-up years, we have two trees. And when my kids were young, we had a lot of kids, and so we had a bigger house. We don't have a big house anymore, but we had a big house at one time, and we had two trees. And so I just let them go for it on the kid tree, but then Mama got her own tree, and everything was just right on Mama's tree. Okay, well, now that I have a much smaller home and I have grandkids, now it's the grandkids' tree, and they can do, again, whatever they want, and it looks great. What kind of tree do you have? How many of you have Mama trees that just look 100% like, ah, yeah? And how many of you have kid trees? Ah. And how many of you have gone to like the artificial minimalist tree that's just like, I've done trees and I'm done. Yeah, okay. Those are good too, right? You put a little one like this on a table and that's good. And you don't have much to clean up afterwards. But so one thing I was thinking about when I was thinking about the theme, I Want a Christmas That Whispers Jesus, I started to think about something that I'm fascinated with in the Old Testament is Christophanies. And I don't know if you guys know what a Christophany is. It's just a fancy word for times in the Old Testament where Jesus showed up, his pre-incarnate self. And they're all over the place. And so I just wrote down, like, just so we know that we're actually looking at the word, I wrote down 8 different Christophanies, and then I'll tell you which one is my favorite. And if you have a favorite, you can tell me which one your favorite is. So Jesus showed up to Abraham in Genesis 18. Now, if you guys are taking notes, you can check on me, because a good Berean checks to make sure I'm giving you the right info, right? Second time he showed up was to Moses. That was in Exodus 3. He showed up in Genesis 16 to Hagar. Okay, that's pretty amazing, right? You know who Hagar was, right? She was the concubine, or the kind of servant who took care of Abraham's wife, Sarah. Let's see, he showed up in the book of Joshua, to Joshua. He showed up to Israel, who was Jacob, right? Remember the wrestling match that Jesus had? These are all Christophanies, the angel of the Lord. So that is Jesus. That's who they're talking about. When you read in your Bible, it says the angel of the Lord, that's Jesus. He showed up to Balaam in the book of Numbers, to Gideon in the book of Judges. Also to David. Angel of the Lord showed up a couple times to David, and David got disciplined by the angel of the Lord. So I don't know if you guys remember that. That was in Samuel and in Chronicles. When he counted all the people, he counted the men, he did a census, and that God didn't want him to do that, and he got disciplined. But my favorite one is Manoah's wife in the book of Judges. So let's just turn there. So I just gave you 10 different Christophanies that you can look up yourself, but we're going to turn to this particular one because it happens to be my favorite. So let's turn to Judges 13, and we'll look at that together. Now, if you know much about Samson, he was kind of a naughty boy. And he was a naughty boy from a young age, but he had an amazing mother, and I'm sure she was excited, but she was kind of disappointed, and then she maybe, I don't know if she even got to see when Samson was restored with that strength as his hair began to grow, his eyes were plucked out. But he did kill a lot of Philistines at the very end of his life. But anyways, okay, let's go to Judges. Judges 13, I'm just kind of giving you a little information about him. All right, so one thing I love to do when I'm together with a group of ladies is just to read the word, because sometimes we just haven't read the word ourselves in a long time. It might have been a whole week, it might be a month, it might be, I don't know how long, but let's just read this together. I'm going to start in 13, let's start with 3, verse 3. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman. Now this woman, it says there, okay, let's go to 2. There was a certain man of Zora, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was infertile and had no children. So I think that's a key point that I want to make sure that we look at. There's a lot of women who are infertile, who have had no children, and God is close to those women, and he hears their prayers. But what's so interesting to me is that she's never named. She does not have a name. She's just called Manoah's wife. But listen to her experience. And the angel of the Lord, this is Jesus, appeared to the woman, and he said to her, "Behold, you are infertile, and you have no children." Now, right then and there, that is so awesome to me. Jesus shows up, and he knows all about her. And she's not fearful. He just speaks the truth to her. And it says, "But you shall receive and give birth to a son." Now, think about in the New Testament, those same words that happen. That happens to a little teenager, a little virgin named Mary. Could have been 12, 13 years old. And the angel Gabriel appears to her and says, what? "You're going to have a baby." Pretty amazing. Almost the same words. "Therefore, be careful not to drink wine or any other intoxicating drink, and do not eat anything ceremonially unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and give birth to a son. No razor shall come upon his head, for the boy shall be a Nazarite, dedicated to God from birth, and he shall reign to rescue Israel from the hands of the Philistines." And then the woman went to her husband, saying, "A man of God came to me, and his appearance was like that, the appearance of the angel of God." Very awesome. "I did not ask him where he came from, and he did not tell me his name. But he said to me, 'Behold, you shall conceive and give birth to a son. And now you shall not drink wine or any intoxicating drink or eat anything ceremonially unclean, for the boy shall be called a Nazarite to God from birth to the day of his death.' Then Manoah pleaded with the Lord and said, 'O Lord, please let the man of God whom you sent come to us again and teach us what we are to do for a boy who is to be born.' And God listened to the voice of Manoah." And now, in this story, just think about if this is you. If you are having a conversation, God listens. He's talking. He's talking to this man. It's pretty amazing. God listened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God, Jesus, came again to the woman as she sat in the field, but Manoah was not with her. And so the woman ran quickly and told her husband, "Behold, the man who came with me the other day has appeared again to me." Manoah got up, followed his wife, came to the man, and said to him, "Are you the man who spoke to this woman?" And he said, "I am. I am." And Manoah said, "Well, now will your words come true? What shall the boy's manner of life be and his vocation?" And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, "The woman must pay attention to everything that I have said to her." Why was that important? You know, who cooked the food back then? It wasn't the men, the women did it. So he's making sure, hey, make sure your wife, you know, cooks properly. "She may not eat anything that comes from the vine, or drink any wine or any other intoxicating drink or anything ceremonially unclean. She shall observe everything that I commanded her." So not only was it for him, but it was also for her while she was going to conceive and grow this child inside of her womb. She wasn't to have any of those items either. Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, "Please let us detain you, and let us prepare a young goat for you to eat." And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, "Though you detain me, I will not eat your food, but if you prepare a burnt offering, offer it to the Lord." For Manoah did not know that he was the angel of the Lord. So he's talking to this angel, and he doesn't realize that it's Jesus. Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, "What is your name? So that when your words come true, we may honor you." And I love, this is why this is my favorite Christophany. But the angel of the Lord said to him, "Why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful?" That Jesus calls himself wonderful. Have you ever thought about that? You know, I honestly think that sometimes, you know, I don't know, I read this and I was like, Jesus, your name, it's wonderful. Not that he is wonderful. That's his name. And then I started thinking about when the angels were in the sky proclaiming his birth, and what did he say? "And his name shall be called," and I sing it, "Wonderful, Counselor. And sometimes you say wonderful counselor, but it's wonderful first. He is wonderful. So one year I just got on a kick of like, everybody I asked, I'm like, what is your favorite name for Jesus? So I'm going to ask you all girls that. What is your favorite name for Jesus? Do you have a favorite name? One that is like special to you? So mine was wonderful. And then I asked myself again in a different season. And I'm like, Lord, your name is wonderful. And now I want another one of your names to just become real to me. And he gave me his name, which is Faithful and True. And but he has so many names. I mean, I could go through 50 different names of Jesus. And if we were to have a contest, just like that little contest over there, I could ask you, some of you biblical scholars, which probably have more education and learning than I, and you could write down, who could write down the most names of Jesus? You know, it's even something you could do at Christmas time as a family gathering, or ask your grandkids or ask your children, what are some of the names of Jesus? What is your favorite name for Jesus? Now, you don't have to tell me if you have one or not. I'm just going to encourage you as a good Berean that everybody should have a favorite name that they call Jesus. Okay, so here we go. The next verse, and this is the key verse. So Manoah took the young goat with the grain offering and offered it on the rock to the Lord, and he performed miracles while Manoah and his wife looked on. What did he do? He performed a miracle. What was happening right then? What was the miracle that Jesus was performing? I mean, we don't know. It just says it. I'm like, you are wonderful. He's like, can you imagine? Like, you're there, your husband, the angel of the Lord, he's doing miracles right in front of you. I have no idea what those were. But then it says, for when the flame went up toward heaven from the altar, the angel of the Lord ascended in the altar flame. And when Noah and his wife saw this, that was his last miracle. Man, they fell to the ground with their faces to the ground. Have you ever read this before and just thought about like that scene? It's so amazing. It says, the angel of the Lord did not appear again to Manoah or his wife. Then Manoah knew that it was the angel of the Lord. So Manoah said to his wife, we will certainly die because we have seen God. But his sensible wife, which hopefully we all are, said to him, if the Lord desired to kill us, he would not have received the burnt offering and a grain offering from our hands. He would have shown us all these things, nor would he have announced such things as these at this time. So the woman in due time gave birth to a son and named him Samson. And the boy grew, and the Lord blessed him. What a story. What a story that Jesus performed miracles in front of this infertile woman who was just wanting a child so bad, and he intervened on her behalf. That's just one of the Christophanies. We could go through all of these, and each of them are so amazing. But what I'm trying to lay a foundation for you guys to see that Jesus has been showing up on planet Earth even before the Bible was written. He's been showing up and making himself known for a very long time to people all over the world. And these are just the things that are recorded for us in the Old Testament. And he's still showing up today. And he's still whispering to us today. And that's the kind of Christmas I want. I want a Christmas that whispers Jesus. Okay, now we're going to turn to 1 Kings 19. And this is one specific place in the Bible that actually talks about a whisper. And I wanted to read it with you. So let's turn to 1 Kings 19. And we all know about Elijah. And Elijah was an amazing, amazing prophet. You've probably heard about Jezebel. She was the wicked queen. Ahab was the king. And she was a Baal worshiper. And she did not like Elijah. And she wanted to kill Elijah. And he was scared of her. And so We're going to read this, and it's pretty amazing. This is 1 Kings 19. It says, "Now Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and how he had killed the prophets of Baal with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a message to Elijah, saying, 'So may the gods do to me, and even more, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like the life of one of them.'" So she was out for his blood. She was going to kill Elijah, or have him killed. And Elijah was afraid. Now, he was a powerful man of God. He did some amazing miracles, but this woman scared him. Have you ever met a scary woman? Yes. Are you a scary woman? Sometimes my kids thought I was a little scary when they were getting disciplined. I probably was, but anyways. We're past those days, and I've been forgiven in the name of Jesus. And Elijah was afraid and arose and ran for his life, and he came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and he left his servant there. But he himself traveled a day's journey into the wilderness, and he came and he sat down under a juniper tree, and he asked God that he might die. And he said, "Is it enough now, O Lord? Take my life, for I am no better than my fathers." And he lay down and he slept under the juniper tree. And behold, here it comes, girls, an angel, the angel of the Lord, touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." And he looked, and by his head there was a bread cake baked on a hot coal and a pitcher of water. And so he ate and drank and lay down again. Did you know that Jesus bakes? Did you know he's a cook? And this isn't the first time. Okay, so this is the angel of the Lord coming from heaven, baking some bread for Elijah, but he also baked some bread and cooked some fish for the disciples after he had resurrected. He's a chef, man. We're going to have a feast up there. It's going to be amazing. That should encourage us all. When I just started to think about that, I had honestly, you girls, before the Lord, he knows, I had never thought of Jesus cooking until I did this study. And I am 63 years old, and I have been serving the Lord for a very long time. We've been in the ministry almost 40 years, and I was a young bride. I was a young pastor's wife. I've raised all my kids in the Lord. Now I've got the grandkids, and now we're traveling all over, and I'm still in the Word. And still, at 63, God is showing me things. Why? Because he whispers. He whispers to us when we spend the time with him in the Word, no matter what age you are. So this is just such an amazing story. So the angel of the Lord came again a second time. So here Jesus shows up again, and he touched him, and he said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too long for you without adequate sustenance." So he got up and he ate and he drank. And with the strength of the food, he traveled 40 days and nights to Horeb, which is Sinai, the mountain of God. And he came to a cave and he spent the night in it. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he said, "I've been very zealous, impassioned for the Lord of hosts, proclaiming what is rightfully and uniquely his. For the sons of Israel have abandoned and broken your covenant, torn down your altars, killed your prophets with the sword, and I, only I am left, and they seek to take away my life." And so he said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord." And behold, the Lord was passing by, and a great and powerful wind was tearing out the mountains and breaking the rocks in pieces before the Lord. So I started to think about that. What was that like? Like an avalanche of some kind? Like rocks and mountains being torn? I don't know. Was it like a volcanic eruption? But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake. How many of you have been in an earthquake? It's scary, right? We know what that feels like. It shakes. And then the Lord was not in the earthquake. And then there was a fire. How many of you have been in a fire? Or almost had your houses burned down? I have. But the Lord was not in the fire. And then there was a sound of a gentle blowing, the whisper. And I looked up all the different translations, and these are the different things that it's called, which I thought was pretty interesting. A gentle blowing, a gentle whisper, a still, small voice, a soft, quiet the sound of soft breath. When I think of soft breath, I think of a baby. Have you ever been by a baby when they're breathing, like they're sleeping? It's just a soft little. To hear that soft baby's breath, and when you know when you have a newborn, as a new mommy, you are so afraid that they're going to quit breathing, right? How many times did we run over to the crib and look inside and just want to see their chest move? And if the chest wasn't moving, we got even closer. And we get so close to their face to see if we could feel the breath. And then we knew, oh, they're okay. And then we could go back to sleep or do whatever we were doing. That's when I think about God was not in the wind and he was not in the earthquake. He was not in the avalanche. He was not in the fire, but he was in the whisper. I think about the big things in our life, the big crises, okay? So big crises for all of us could be a bunch of different things. It could be an imminent divorce. That's a crisis. The death of a child. That's a crisis. The death of a parent. That's a crisis. Losing your job. That's a crisis. Everything that happened during COVID, that was like one big, huge crisis, wasn't it? How crazy was that time in our life? But what he was trying to say to Elijah, I feel, in this passage was, Elijah had just experienced this, in the chapter before, this huge ordeal about the Baal and about God. And if you remember that story, if you go back, and you guys should, after sometime this week, go back to the Word and read the chapter before, chapter 18, and it talks about, let's see which God is real. So all the priests of Baal came, they cut themselves, they chanted, they danced around, and God didn't show up. And then you've got Elijah, and Elijah takes the sacrifice, and he actually digs a trench around the sacrifice. He fills the trench up with water, and what does God do? He does a miracle. The fire came down, took away burnt up the sacrifice, and also sucked up all the water. And that's when they were able to tell who was the true and living God. So he had just come off this big, like, spiritual high, and here comes Jezebel after him, and he's afraid, and he's running for his life. You know, there's times in our life when, yeah, God does show up for those big things. And maybe we prayed for that child to be saved, and they were saved, and they didn't die. And those are awesome times to worship and praise the Lord. But you know what sustains you in your walk with Jesus? The whispers. The whispers. The whispers. The whisper, if I could narrow it down, and when I think about the theme, I want a Christmas that whispers Jesus. Jesus is always speaking to us from his word. The word was made flesh and walked among us. And we read all about him from in the Old Testament, as we're talking about these Christophanies, until he's born, which is what we're celebrating this month. And then we go on to Easter, where he dies and he's resurrected. The whole thing is about Jesus. We go all the way to the book of Revelation. And what's happening? It's the revelation, not with an S, but the revelation of Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And he's still whispering to us today. And why don't we hear the whispers? I know why I don't hear them. I just get too busy. You know, I want to be a Mary. I really want to be a Mary. But honestly, I'm a Martha. I'm a doer. I'm a worker. You give me a job, you give me a task, I'm going to do it. I'm going to accomplish it. I'm going to do as best as I can. And if I can't do it, I'm going to find someone who will do it better than I can, and I'll pay him to do it, but I will get the job done. And you know what? That's not a bad thing, because when I think about Jesus, he was so gentle when he corrected Martha. And Martha went to Jesus, and that was her good friend and her rabbi, and Lord, don't you see my sister, man? Send her to the kitchen. I need some help. And he just said, Martha, Martha. I mean, can you imagine just Jesus saying your name? And maybe he even said it in a whisper. Maybe he said, Martha, Martha. And as he said that, when someone whispers, what do you have to do? You have to lean in. You have to, sometimes those of us that kind of have bad hearing, my hearing is starting to go now too, I cup my ear. Or I say to the kids, can you say that again? They're like, Mom, we are not saying it again. I'm like, come on now, it's not fair. One more time, I was in the kitchen, or whatever. And Jesus, he was just like, Martha, Martha, you know, what you do is a good thing, but your sister, she's picked the best thing. And I'm not taking that away from her. And she had to learn. Now, that was a very gentle rebuke, but I think she learned her lesson. I don't see her asking Jesus to have sister help anymore after that, right? She learned her lesson. You have to sit at the feet of Jesus. That's where you hear the whisper. You want a Christmas that whispers Jesus? You got to spend the time. That means you can't be so busy with the present buying and the present wrapping and the present giving and the delicious food and the, I just told one of the girls at my table, I mean, there's nothing more than that I like than a cookie that's got a chocolate kiss on the top. I mean, that's gonna be a winner like out of the gate, right? And I love gingerbread, and I have a gingerbread recipe that I use from my old Betty Crocker cookbook, the pink and white one, if you guys know which one that is. I make it every year, and I want to make it. I've been wanting to make it since Thanksgiving. I finally have the ingredients. They're out on my counter. They've been out on my counter for 1 week, and I still haven't got to the gingerbread. So I'm just telling you, if you can't get to the gingerbread, I hope you're getting to Jesus. You got to get to have a Christmas that whispers Jesus. You got to spend time with him. You can't just say, oh, yeah, it's your birthday. Okay, I got to go now and just take off doing the crazy things that we do in the month of December. And at a church, I'm telling you, church is like the worst place at Christmas time. You are so busy. All my kids were always sick during Christmas time because you're out every single night. You're caroling. You're visiting people in the convalescent home. You're having chili cook-offs. You're having women's teas. You're having this. You're having this. You're going there. You're doing, and it just, you don't take the time to hear the whisper. And that's what he wants for each of us. He wants to whisper to us. One other place I want you guys to look at is 1 Samuel. So let's turn to 1 Samuel. And let's turn to chapter 3. And if you can never remember pastor's boys, just remember two prophets, and then you'll always remember Samuel and Nathan. Now you'll never forget. Now that I told you that, you'll never forget that. Never forget their names. Okay, so we're going to read verses 1 to 11. You know the story, but I'm just going to do my little bit of embellishing. Now the boy Samuel was attending to the service of the Lord under the supervision of Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare and precious in those days. Why was it so rare and precious in those days? Because the Holy Spirit hadn't been given yet. So in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit rested on people. It rested on kings and prophets and particular people. And so it says, it was rare and precious in those days, and that is, new revelations of divine truth were not widespread. Yet it happened at that time as Eli was lying down in his own place. Now his eyesight had begun to grow dim, so he could not see well, like a lot of us here, like myself. And the oil lamp of God had not gone out yet, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. And that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. For you have called me." But Eli said, "I didn't call you. Lay down again." So he went down, laid down again. And then the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." So Samuel got up, and he went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But Eli answered, "I did not call you, my son. Lie down again." Now this is great. Now Samuel did not yet know or personally experience the Lord, and the word of the Lord was not yet revealed directly to him. So it hadn't happened where the Spirit hadn't rested upon little Samuel yet. So the Lord called Samuel a third time, and he stood and he went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you did call me." And Eli understood that it was the Lord who was calling the boy. So Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down. And it shall be that if he calls you, and you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went, laid down in his place, and the Lord came, and he stood, and he called as at the previous time. So here he is showing up again as Samuel, Samuel. And then Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant is listening. And the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel in which both ears of everyone who hears it will ring. And then it goes on. And this is just another time when God is whispering to this new boy, a young boy, someone who hasn't had all the experience that Eli had had. You know, Eli, he was, I think he was a good guy, but he was a horrible father. And he had some boys that were horrible. And they gave up some strange fire and, you know, they got wiped out. So here's little Samuel. And you can only imagine, Samuel was precious. Who was Samuel precious to? Hannah, his mom. Hannah, who was also an infertile woman in the Bible, who wanted a boy and wanted a baby and wanted just a child. She wanted to be a mother so bad that every year she would just go to the temple and ask for a child. And finally, she was seen and they thought she was drunk. She's crazy. No, I just want a child. And you know what? Boom, the Lord blessed her and gave her. And what was so cool about that, and if you go back and you read her story, she was infertile. She couldn't have any kids. She, you know, there was two wives, and the other wife had a bunch of kids, and she didn't have any. And it was the husband loved her more because she didn't have any kids when the other wife did. And when she finally had a kid, and she said, if you give me a child, I'll give that child back to you, God. And what did she do? She gave the child. And then, you know, she went on to have, I think, four or five, maybe six others. She went on to have a lot more kids, which is awesome. But this little guy here, this little Samuel, her little precious firstborn that she offered to the Lord, is now going to be the one that the Holy Spirit rests upon and it leads the nation spiritually. Pretty awesome. God shows up. God speaks. God whispers. He knows your name. If you listen close enough, Samson, Mary, Martha, he's going to whisper your name. He knows your name. But you'll never hear the whisper of the Lord whispering your name unless you spend the time. You have to want to be intimate. He shows up because he wants to commune with you. He doesn't want you just to do stuff for him. I mean, doing stuff for him is great. I do stuff for him all the time. But he doesn't want the stuff. He wants you. He wants me. He wants our most precious commodity, which is time. So just like you spend time when you have a new baby, I mean, it's just every waking hour you're holding it, you're changing it, you're feeding the child, you're doing everything for that child. That intimate relationship you have with, and it never goes away. We love those children, even when they grow up to be adults. We think of them as adults, but in our head, they're still like a baby. And we go back in our mind and we think about that time when we just nurtured and loved on them. That's what Jesus wants with us. And so one last verse, and this was kind of a twist on the verse, but I loved it. And I know you guys know this verse as well. This is going to be our last verse. This is from Proverbs 18:8. So let's go there. This is a negative that actually, for me, the Lord turned into a positive as I was doing the study, because it had always been a negative to me. And I don't know about you guys if it's always been a negative to you, but okay, so go with me either in your Bibles. How many of you brought your Bible? Someone should get a prize for the person that actually brought their Bible. Ah, pastor's wife. Cha-ching! She gets the prize. Good girl. You learned well. You are a good, good girl. Okay, so anyways, I know that they're on our phones, so go to your phones. That's fine. But now we're going to Proverbs. And I'm going to find it right here. Proverbs 18:8. Okay, so when we think about this, it's usually in a negative connotation. And maybe we even use this to correct someone that's having an issue. It says, the words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels to be greedily eaten, and they go down to the innermost chambers of the body to be remembered and mused upon. So in this context, the words of a whisperer are gossip, but that's the negative connotation. Let's flip that to the positive connotation, since we're talking about the whispers, okay? The words of the whisperer, who would be Jesus, are dainty morsels, and they go down to our innermost chambers to be remembered. Those are the whispers I want to remember, the ones I get from Jesus. God who is love, God who is kindness, God who is peace, God who is almighty, God who knows the beginning from the end. That's the God I serve. People serve a lot of different gods, but the true and living God is known in his word. So if you want to know God, you got to know his word. And to know his word, you got to read it. And if you're not a good reader, there's no excuse, because now there's apps that actually read the Bible to you. And I use them, and I love them. I love to have someone read the Bible to me. I used to do that when my kids would take a nap. I had the whole Bible on tape, and I would turn the cassette player on as loud as I could. Cassette player, so you know we're talking 80s. And I would turn it on loud, and they would take their rests, but some of them couldn't sleep. But if they couldn't sleep, that was fine. They could just listen to whatever, the Bible on tape, and it was a dramatization, so it would be drama Bible on tape, which was awesome. But not only did it help my kids, it helped me with that continuity of just staying in the Word on a daily basis. If I can say one thing, if you want a Christmas that whispers Jesus, if you want a life that whispers Jesus, if you want to have the fragrance of Christ, you got to spend the time in the Word, and there's no shortcut. You want to lose weight, you got to push yourself away from the food. People say, oh, I can't lose weight. No, you can lose weight. And I'm speaking to the choir. And I will say this last year that the Lord radically convicted me about that. And I kind of splurged today, because you guys had a fabulous little thing here. Things I haven't had in a long time, and they were tasty morsels. But, you know, there's just areas that the Lord puts his finger on, and he put his finger and said, this is what I want you to do. And I'm like, oh, that's really hard. But in Christ, we can do all things. So I'm trying that journey, and it's hard, but it's good. Because you know what? I want the whisper. You have to want the whisper. If you want the whisper, you'll get the whisper. Why? Because you're going to spend the time. And how are you going to do it? In a quiet place. Maybe the quiet place is your car. Maybe the quiet place is your bathroom, in the bathtub. I don't know where it is. Somewhere where, like, nobody can get to you. And if you're freaky like me, OCD, and had to have everything clean, I couldn't even read my Bible if I saw. There's a few crumbs on the floor right there, and they're kind of bugging me, like, right now. Because I have issues. I have a lot of issues. A lot of cleaning issues are my, and it's not healthy. When you're a particular, I would just want to see, if you guys be totally honest with yourself, if you are a particular person, and you know that about yourself, I want to see your hand. If you're particular, not everybody is particular. Yeah, okay. Your life is hard. I'm just going to say that right out. Because if you're not particular, your life is a lot easier. If you're not particular, you don't care if the kids make a mess in their room. If you're not particular, you don't care if your car's washed. If you're not particular, you don't care that, you know, the walls need to be painted. You just don't, it doesn't bother you if things are messy. And that's, I have friends like that, and I like to be their friends, but you know what? I can't really go over to their house because I want to clean it for them. And I mean, is that sick? Come on, you guys, that is sick. I know, I'm just a sick person. But if something's out of place, I just kind of want to just adjust it a little bit. I don't know. I've even been, can I confess, guilty enough to go into someone's bathroom and their toilet paper is not the way I like it, and I have changed their toilet paper. That is a sick person. Okay, I'm just, you guys, what happens here stays here. Do not share. This is just for us. I'm serious about that, but no. But anyways, all I'm saying is you have a harder life if you're particular. And so in that case, when my kids were little, I couldn't do, and I was homeschooling, and I was driving, and I had to, like, do it in my car. I had to spend time with the Lord in my car, because I couldn't do it in my house, because there was always something that I had to do, except on Thursdays when I had a little housekeeper that would come, and that was the best day of the week, and I just on Thursdays, I was a really happy girl. But other than that, just, I had to go to my car and I had to do my study there. But I'm just encouraging you, do wherever you can find the whisper, do it. Maybe it's at the park. Maybe it's on a walk. Maybe it's, it, like I said, in the bathroom, or it's in your bedroom and you close the door, or you have a prayer closet, wherever it is, find your whisper. And then you will have a Christmas that whispers Jesus. Let's pray. Jesus, we want that kind of a Christmas. We want to hear your whisper, Lord. And I know for myself and for the girls here, Lord, we gotta push in. We've gotta go deep. We've gotta get close enough to you so that we can hear your whisper. And you do speak to us from your word. You want to talk to us. You want to commune with us. And I thank you for that, Lord. So forgive me for the times when I haven't communed with you like my soul wants to, Lord. You know how my soul feels, and I want that. Provide that for us, Lord. In the next 10 days, as we're preparing for Christmas and all the hustle and bustle, may we take the most important time, and that is the time with you, Lord, to hear your whisper. And we love you, Lord. You're so good to us. In Jesus' name, amen.